Yeah, so how can people get in touch with you?
RevBillin.com.
Well, my cell phone is 646-299-3019. I'm not lonely, but I'd love to hear from you.
All right, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. This has been... go ahead.
Oh, shout out to all our choir members who are back in New York
as
well.
Yeah!
All right. Love you. Wednesday Talk Radio. We've been here with Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. Thank you so much for listening. This is KBOO Portland. Thank you, Kathleen Stevenson, for engineering this three-ring circus this morning.
Thank you.
Co-sponsor of the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement in Portland. The walk ends at King Elementary School with a celebration to show solidarity and celebrate survivors of domestic violence. Again, that's the first annual Purple Mile Walk, Saturday, October 10th at 10 a.m., starting at the Center for Self-Enhancement, 3920 North Kirby Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Two, three, four.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present A Hard Day's Night as part of the KBOO at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. The Beatles made this film in 1964 as they portray a rock and roll band traveling from Liverpool to London for a television broadcast, and wackiness ensues. Again, that's A Hard Day's Night, Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Whew, this is KBOO Portland. It's 9:01 a.m. coming up on Political Perspectives. Host Jimmy Tardy speaks with Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hofgarten about their film Finding Bosnia, which presents the intimate and personal journey of a Bosnian war refugee raised in the United States. At 9:30, longtime peak oil activist Richard Heinberg talks about the ideas in his book, Afterburn, Society Beyond Fossil Fuels. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints asks, will the passage of TPP be a nightmare for workers all over the world and make medical care for everyday folks more expensive? A rather loaded question. Also, the weekly installment of the Electronic Intifada with Nora Barrows-Friedman. And at 11, The Bike Show brings you news and views of cycling in Portland and beyond. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. Those of you who have not yet become members of the KBOO Foundation can correct that oversight at kboo.fm. Click where it says Donate Today. And now, Political Perspectives. On your community radio, KBOO Portland.
I'm Jimmy Tardy. I recently spoke with the two women behind Llama Mama Productions, Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hofgarten, about their new film called Finding Bosnia. It is a documentary of Ivana's return to her childhood home of Sarajevo. KBOO listeners, of course, are familiar with the political history behind Sarajevo and the disintegration of the country that followed with the refugee situation in the world today. I spoke with Ivana about her history as a refugee, about where she finds herself now, and what she discovered upon her return to Bosnia in the film Finding Bosnia, which will be showing Sunday, October 11th at 3 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater.
Finding Bosnia, we began somewhat as a personal decision for me to go back to become reacquainted with where I came from, to understand my past, because honestly, living in Portland, Oregon, I was very much removed from anything about my history. We don't have a community of Bosnians that we spend time with in Portland. And so the extent of my personal Bosnia, those are some air quotes there, are through my mom and my dad. I got to a point where I really felt that it was necessary for me to learn where I came from and kind of fill in the blanks of my Bosnian identity, because I have been living in the U.S. not feeling 100% American, but feeling like I couldn't call myself Bosnian either. So I decided to take this trip and go on this very important personal journey, which then ended up as a documentary that Adrian and I really wanted to share with the world. So basically the documentary is just following me over a period of 7 months while I live in my hometown, to Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia, reacquainting myself with my family, making friends for the first time, speaking my language, and figuring out what this place is and how do I belong.
So your film is going to be playing at Clinton Street Theater on October 11th at 3 p.m. That's a Sunday. You've been submitting the film to be shown in film fests around the country and around the world, areas that have somewhat of a higher Bosnian representation than Portland. How's that process going and what's that been like?
So one of our primary goals was to show this film in cities that have Bosnian Americans or just Bosnian refugees who live in, you know, have been displaced and are continuing to live in a different country, because they kind of share that feeling of living in between cultures. So one film festival is one in Chicago and there's another in New York. They're both Bosnian American film festivals. And we feel very strongly about going to those festivals and sharing our film with other Bosnian Americans, because they are they're able to directly relate to my experience. We're not stopping there. We do see it traveling internationally, and we do see people being able to relate to it from wherever they are. It's not just for Bosnians. There's quite a few universal themes there of identity, of this in-between life, so to speak. So the next phase will be to continue to apply to film festivals in Europe, in Asia, in South America, wherever we can get it shown, to share a story that other people can hopefully relate to and to spread awareness about what Bosnia is. It's so much more than the war. And unfortunately, that's what most people associate with Bosnia. They associate it with war and the horrors of war and death. And I think our film is extremely unique in that it shows it in a positive light, and we're there to celebrate it. Of course, we do get into some darker themes because it's inevitable. You have to talk about the war if you're going to talk about Bosnia, but it's so much more than that. And we really want people to understand that.
Both of us, in going back to Bosnia, I wanted to learn more about the circumstances in which Ivana came here. And I also really wanted for her to experience what it was like to have a family. I have fond memories of my grandmother. I have fond memories of my cousins. And Ivana never had that. She would always describe, well, you know, like all the other kids go home for Thanksgiving and my family and I, we like hang out and sometimes go to like our American grandma's house. But there was a sense of family that was very different, a sense of home that was very different, and just three people, her mother, her father, and herself. And so for me, it's Ivana's journey to create a connection with Bosnia, to create her Bosnia, and also to find the essence of Bosnia for herself and for other Bosnian refugees around the world.
So again, we're talking about the film Finding Bosnia. It's the first feature-length documentary from Llama Mama Productions, and I'm speaking with Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hufgarten, who are the essence of Llama Mama Productions.
This was primarily an effort that me and her dedicated 4 years of our life to make. When it came down to, you know, the last push, the last year of editing nonstop, countless hours, lots of tears, lots of stress, we had the good fortune of just knowing a lot of talented, creative friends. And we brought these people in. We have two men, David Dreisen and Evan Feenstra, who gave us countless hours and produced original songs for our documentary. All the music, 95% of the music we use was produced by them just for this film. I think that's amazing, especially Portland being such a community. It used to be more bohemian than it is, but there's so many creative, talented people that don't really get to be a part of something as big as this. And it was just such a great experience just collaborating with the people who do love us most and getting to use their talents and us just coming together with the sole purpose of finishing this. And it turned out amazing.
And I'd like to just say, 5 years ago when I first moved to Portland, there was this very bohemian culture. There was this very, I'll help you, you'll help me. You create what you want to create and let me be a part of your vision. And I don't want to say, I think it has changed quite a little bit. But at that moment in time, it was, when we first started 4 years ago, there was such a DIY emphasis and invite your friends, share stories, make sure your friends are a part of it, have your friends share stories. So I think for all of the people who helped us, especially Evan Feenstra and David Dreisen, they bought into storytelling. They bought into making things happen. And as our film is so personal and it does ride such a personal and historical element, as well as contemporary, it was such an incredible adventure to actually fulfill something and finish something where our community helped us and supported us and made it finished the project. I don't think I mean, I can't speak of other communities, but I'm so frickin' proud to be a part of that community. And I do think Portland enabled us at that moment in time when we first began it to do it, to set that road in inviting people and having people be a part of our story.
Not to mention, you know, the way this entire project was funded was through Kickstarter, and majority of our backers were people who knew us personally. They were people who, you know, were friends with my parents back from Yugoslavia, who heard about this project. They now live in Prague and they donated money. Or my old teachers who always knew my story. You know, my mom works at the school I went to. They knew our story, not really, but they were there and supporting me. My friends, Adrian's family, these are the people that made the project happen. It wasn't any outside donors. It was all just very much within our community and our group. And that's pretty incredible, you know, producing a professional feature-length documentary completely within our community. Now, I will say that we're trying to expand now that it's a completed project. We do want to think bigger at this point. We're trying to incorporate some bigger names and see what doors open now that we have premiered our film, now that it will be shown at the St. Louis International Film Festival, now that we do have this special screening in Portland on October 11th. And we're very excited to see where it goes. But the backbone of it will always be our community and our loved ones. And I think that's rad.
So we spent some time talking beforehand about what this film represents. And Ivana, you were pretty adamant in trying to avoid some of the political dimensions of this whole issue. And I know that you really don't want to focus on that too much for the purposes of this interview. But I'm curious, when you went into this project, were you consciously trying to avoid the political aspects of it? And what were you shooting for if you were trying to avoid that? And then I also am curious, what did you end up saying with this film?
I'm going to start to answer your question by kind of explaining where I was at the beginning of this project. I'll describe myself as someone who wasn't involved and wasn't informed about the situation in Bosnia very much. I never took the time to read up on it in middle school. I was too wrapped up in homework and sports, and I wasn't a part of it. It wasn't until we started this project that I started learning more about the political situation. I remember my first experience with that was actually our first interview for this film was on Hawthorne with a talented author, Ismet Prčić, and his friend Robbie. and they are Bosnian Americans who live in Portland. And they were speaking about how, you know, people still refuse to go to Serbian businesses because they don't want to support Serbs because they've had bad experiences with them. Or I was reading YouTube comments about Angelina Jolie's new movie at the time, In the Land of Blood and Honey, and all the comments were saying, the Serbs are to blame, or like the Muslims. And it's just this ethnic tension that was still incredibly alive and like very much still of very intense fire that I didn't think was around at all, because I was raised not acknowledging these ethnic differences. And all of a sudden, at the beginning of our film, I'm faced with this reality, like, wait, this is really still alive, and careful what you're getting into. They were the two men I mentioned earlier in our first interview were saying, be careful about saying but your last name is Horvat. If you go to somewhere like a Serbian city like Banja Luka, they'll know that you're Croatian and you might get treated differently. So I, you know, people are telling me to watch out all of a sudden, and I have no idea what I'm getting into. That's why the film is so pure and so raw, because it's following me, little ignorant, you know, uninformed Ivana, making the effort to become informed, but, you know, having all that be on film. So I went into it pretty worried because I didn't know what kind of, who I was going to upset, what questions were inappropriate. You know, the war happened not very long ago, 20 years ago. It ended in 95. That's means every single person that I saw in Sarajevo lived through that war. And that was a really intense thing, especially because I was, you know, a regular Portland 20-something-year-old. Then to answer your question, once I got there, so I came from a place where I didn't really think the ethnic divide existed. I didn't think that there was still a tension. I didn't think that names dictated who you were ethnically. I didn't really know that there was different religions associated with the different ethnic groups. I came away with knowing so much more than I do now. For example, if you're Croatian, you're Roman Catholic. And if your last name is Horvat, you're Croatian, which is such a strange concept to me as, quote, an American, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, my last name is Horvat, so that means that's dictating not only my nationality, not only my ethnicity, but also my religion. Like, my mind was blown, you know? There's nothing in America really like that. Not only that, but I come from a family that was entirely mixed, and I think a lot of Bosnians do. My grandmother was Muslim, my dad's Croatian, my mom is Serbian, and I have some Jewish bloodlines in there too. So coming to a place where ethnicity was still really important and people talked about it all the time, like, oh, like if I'm talking to someone named Kemal Vrabac, I know that he's Muslim. And it's this like thing that everyone around me knew, but I didn't know. And it was still very important in a lot of ways in the country. Because in America, if you're American, if you're Chinese American, you're still American. In Bosnia, if you have blood that comes, if you have a name that's Serbian, you're Serbian over Bosnian, even if you live in Bosnia. So that whole concept of ethnic identity, national identity, religious identity, all being intertwined like that and mutually exclusive was the biggest like breakthrough moment I had, understanding the way the people are in the country and the way it ran. Now, for every person that cares about ethnic identity, there's countless people who refuse to take that. So a lot of people still identify as Yugoslavs. The term Yugoslav representing a time when the ethnicities didn't matter.
So just kind of reflect for a moment on as you were perhaps landing at Sarajevo International Airport. What did you expect your experience was going to be? Did you just see it as sort of a homecoming and connecting with family and that type of thing? Or what was going on? Do you recall that sort of, to use your word, I think, naivete?
So the beauty of what I expected when I first landed in Sarajevo was that I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea what to expect from my family. I had no idea what their personalities were like, what their voices were like, anything. So that was a complete, you know, if you take an etch-a-sketch and it's completely empty and because it just got shaken up, that was like I was coming in fresh completely not having any expectations because I couldn't. I didn't know. I did go to Bosnia to reconnect with my family. That was a priority. But what another equally important priority to me was living like a Bosnian, being a Bosnian, completely immersing myself in the culture, which meant for me making a friend group. And I speak about this in the movie. I had never had a conversation or hung out with someone who spoke Bosnian and who was Bosnian, who was my own age. So being in the culture, having a friend group, eating the food, discussing what people normally discuss, being with my family, all of those were equal priorities to me. And all of that made up my Bosnia. So my expectations were comparable to having a blank slate, so to speak. But I was very, very nervous about stepping on toes and getting into the war and getting into politics, knowing that I didn't know much about it. To my surprise, and my expectations were also not to be accepted and to be kind of shunned for being an American and trying to speak terrible Bosnian with an American accent and just kind of being shunned. Instead, I was very, very pleasantly surprised about how fast people were to accept me, about how supportive people were of me trying to put effort into speaking the language and having conversations with them and learning. And it's one of Bosnians are some of the most open and friendly and hospitable people I have ever met, which made this experience and which makes the movie what it is.
So Adrian, let me ask you, what is the focus? What does it end up saying to you, sort of being, I guess, a half step removed from the situation? Maybe not a full step, but, you know, a little distance.
Finding Bosnia speaks very highly of the spirit and the resilience of a people who have survived war. I definitely was transformed by my experience there, and I think I felt a tremendous sense of responsibility in making this movie after I lived with Ivana there for a month. I came back from Bosnia the first time. I was with her 3 or 4 months into her experience, and my heart opened up in ways I never imagined. I had a sense of living that I had never experienced before. And I think that when you are around people who, I mean, were dying to get water, to basic essentials, food, water, and taking that chance, there's this incredible humor this black humor that came out. Like, and a great example is one time her grandmother, Ivana's grandmother, said, "Oh, you know, it was every day I would leave my husband in the house, and I'd say, 'Honey, if I don't come back later, it's because, you know, I've been shot.'" And she's totally seriously laughing, but she was just trying to get water and having to climb over gates. This older woman, past her 60s, to get water. And you know, we filmed the movie in 2012, so that's technically about 17 years after the war. And there's still this incredible attention to the moment that happens in Bosnia that does not, I don't think, in America, we're, gotta go to work, gotta go back. Oh my God, I gotta make my coffee, gotta go, I gotta work out. It's everything is so fast, 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 fast. And in Bosnia, you live slow. The term polako, polako, it's very slow, go slow. Enjoy life, because a lot of the Bosnian people there would say, "You might not be around next week, tomorrow. What are you talking about tomorrow for? Today is the moment. The moment is now." And that is something that I think our film does say, really exploring people, exploring the moment, which is what I think that I took back when I came back from Bosnia, is there's a lifestyle there that is not here. And I hope for the rest of my life that I live my life with that spirit as well, where I recognize the people around me and I make sure that they're part of my experience in life. Because when it's all said and done, I want to know that I lived it.
To know what it is to live, you have to know what it is to die and what death is, right? You have to know the opposite to understand people in Bosnia understand what death is, and that's what enables them to live all the harder. And I think that's something I came back with. Their view of life is just different, and it's refreshing, and it's powerful, and it does rub off on anyone. It makes you want to live. And it's a common saying in Bosnia, you know, people feel the city, people feel the spirit, no matter how long you're there. If you're there for a layover and you go into town for a day, you will feel this feeling. And everyone I've brought there, I've brought a few friends there now, they've come away with understanding it. And I think our film was able to convey that spirit through the conversations we had with people, through the imagery we chose. And the film is basically a collage of the people we met and the collage of conversations I had. I think the most important and meaningful way to understand something is through its people. And that's the strategy we took in creating this film. Along the lines of what you were asking me earlier, how did my experience change or how did I transform through the experience? I definitely went through a honeymoon phase, which was soaking up the pace of the city, soaking up the slowness, soaking up the spirit and how everyone seems to be in the moment. I just loved it. People are walking around the streets no matter how much, what time it is. It's a walking culture. There's not, you don't have to drive to get somewhere. The social life is organic. You run into people on the street. Everyone knows each other. It's this amazing communal vibe. As time went on, you start understanding a little bit of why it's like that. And hey, guess what? Bosnia has a huge unemployment rate. Of course, there's going to be people sitting at cafes and drinking coffee for hours at a time because there's not no good work opportunity. So it's kind of like, you know, you find those really amazing positive things, and then the longer you stay, and the more time you spend, and the more people you talk to, you see the other side of it. And I think the documentary kind of follows that in a way. Just showing it can't all be positive, but it was definitely me at a point in my life where I was just there to soak it up. I was there loving every little second of every moment, every little accomplishment, every conversation I had with a taxi driver or a store clerk. It was just incredible every single moment. And that was kind of like the really optimistic, giddy me getting reintroduced to Bosnia. And then as time goes on, you're kind of hit with the reality of it too, and it changes you in a different way.
One thing I'd also like to speak to is during the war, people accepted that they were going to die. People didn't know when, but they accepted their death. But then when the Dayton Accords were signed, then they had to live. They had to live again. They had to be integrated back. And most Bosnians, and by most, some of our friends, clearly I can't speak of every single Bosnian around the world and in Bosnia, but a lot of our friends had described how difficult it was to live again, to not be under former Yugoslavia, to be to not have that expectation of death either. And I think that that's really important to know as we look at any other conflict in the last 20 years, being integrated back into the world where you think you have hope and opportunity. It's a total trip. You have to learn to live again. And I think that there's something to be said about that strength in choosing life again, in choosing to make it work, to try to pick up the pieces of what was once your life. And I do think that that makes Bosnia very palpable. And Ivana's right. Every single person who does in my family, they felt absolutely touched by Sarajevo in particular.
So again, I'm speaking with Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hofgarten about their new film from Llama Mama Productions called Finding Bosnia. It's going to be showing at Clinton Street Theater on October 11th at 3 p.m. The film is about Ivana's return to her childhood home of Sarajevo, where she fled at the age of 4. Initially with her mother, and then you were reunited with your father. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we lived momentarily in Munich, Germany, and Malaysia, eventually moved to Portland, and my dad was reunited with his family at the end of the war.
Thanks for listening. Once again, I'm Jimmy Tardy. I've been speaking with Ivana Horvat and Adrian Hufgarten about their new film, Finding Bosnia, which will be showing at the Clinton Street Theater on Sunday, October 11th at 3 p.m.
A bird. Now we pushed in a ghetto like a sheep in a herd. All the promises I heard became empty words, completely disconnected from the rest of the world.
But grass is never greener in neighbor's courtyard. I want to start all over, return to no man's land. Send greetings to your leader, don't want your green card. I want to fly back like a rocket to the Balkans.
I'm from Bosnia, take me to America. I really want to see Statue of Liberty. I can no longer wait, take me to United States. Take me to Golden Gate, I will assimilate.
One day.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 6th Annual Teaching with Purpose Conference on October 9th and 10th at Park Rose Middle School, located at 11800 Northeast Shaver Street, Portland, Oregon. The Teaching with Purpose